Offshore harvesters are tackling the age-old problem of ghost fishing. In an effort to create healthier, cleaner oceans, Andrew Titus is taking part in a pilot project. He's the former captain of Mercy Seafood's northern shrimp vessel, the Mercy Phoenix, and he joins me live by phone this morning. Good morning, Mr. Titus.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Not bad. I would like to, if it would be all right at this moment, to express my sincere condolences to the families of the captain and crew of the Sarah Ann. There's no words that anyone can say to ease the pain. I just want them to know that fishermen from every province and every sector are thinking about them.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for those kind words. I'm sure that the people of St. Lawrence appreciate that. Let's get into this project that you are a part of. What will you be doing?
In the past, when we have encountered gill nets or crab pots that have been lost, we've had to just return them into the ocean. We weren't allowed to bring them ashore. So now, moving forward, that's what we will be doing. We have permission now to keep the gill nets and crab pots. If we can take them on board safely, we can bring them on shore and dispose of them in a proper manner.
Okay, if there's anybody out there listening, they're not really sure what a ghost net is, describe it to us.
Ghost net, I'm going to say it's fishing gear that's been lost. I believe it's usually due to weather or ice conditions. A lot of effort goes into to rig crab gear and gill nets. So to me, nothing is put in the ocean unless, you know, intentionally to dump it there. So in these cases, fishermen have lost this. It gets caught in our nets when we're trawling, and then we have to take it out of our nets because it hampers how we fish. So then we just return it to the ocean. Now we can actually keep it. So it's gear that actually the crab pots will continue to fish. Crab gets in it and then dies, and it turns into bait. And it's the same as the gill nets. The gill nets will have fish in them, and they'll rot. And then the net will spread out again, and more fish will get caught in it. And they continue to fish and not be tended by fishermen.
Is it a really big problem, do you think?
It can be, yes. You know, I think it goes along with the weather. You know, if we have a heavy ice season early or late ice, we can see more crab pots lost. And, you know, if we have some spring storms or summer storms, that can increase the amount of gill nets that we see.
Okay, and I imagine that fishermen have been, you know, losing gear in the ocean since the beginning of time, since they've been fishing. So why are you able to tackle this now?
DFO has allowed us to, the regulations before, like I said, didn't allow us to keep it. So now they're allowing us to keep it on board. So that's, I guess that's the biggest change. And we've convinced them that it will help towards contributing to a healthier ocean and cleaner. I think it's, you know, more before when the regulations were written, you know, the whole society has changed when we talk about what goes into our oceans and us trying to protect the oceans so we can continue to fish and harvest.
So are you just reporting where you're seeing this ghost gear, or are you actually collecting it out of the ocean as well?
We'll record it. The observers will record the position. We'll record the position, and we'll collect it out of the ocean, and we'll store it on the ship.
Okay. And what kind of an environmental impact do these ghost nets have?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's like being, how would I say it? It's the same as if we had trash in the woods. It's the same sort of thing. It's the breakdown of garbage, basically. So it's basically, I would say, along the lines of that.
And we're on track to have more plastic in the ocean, I believe, than fish. So I think what you guys are doing out there and trying to get rid of this ghost gear, I guess that's the start. There's a lot more pollution in the ocean other than just ghost nets and stuff, obviously. But it's a start.
It is. And it's something that's, you know, if we hook into it and it's doing, you know, if it's blowing 50, 60 knots or 45 knots, it makes it a little different. But if we have it on board or we can get it on board, it's pretty simple for us to generally stow it and take it. So it's not a big thing for us to do, like interrupt our work day, but it's certainly the bonus at the end is huge.
If there's anybody out there, they want to get some information on this, where can they get that?
They can go to the Canadian Association of Prawn Producers website, and there's a few links on there, and I believe there's also something on DFO's website.
Okay, thank you very much, Andrew Titus. I appreciate your time this morning.
All right, thank you very much.